Item number four, agenda review. Are there any items that anybody would like to pull or move around in the agenda this evening?
None for me.
Hearing no comments.
Please. Sheriff Jim Taylor will not be here tonight.
Okay.
So he said that he would report the next one.
All right, why don't we pull 9A off and move it to the, I think it's the 27th is our next meeting?
Right.
Okay. Are there any other changes or recommendations? All right, do I have a motion to approve the agenda as modified?
I move that we accept the agenda as modified.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Item number five, public comments.
Yes, we have Chairman Guerrero. We have two, Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards?
Thank you, President Guerrero. Good evening, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. This evening in public comment, I wanted to continue some of the thoughts I shared with you at the last meeting regarding this new book, Dune Child. I just picked up a copy at the Halcyon store. And they've got a good collection of all sorts of things down there. I hadn't been in the store lately. It's a great little spot. But this book is authored by Ella Thorpe Ellis. And as a young child, she lived in the little grouping known as Moymel, Gaelic for Land of Honey. This was a little community. This was set in the 1930s Depression era. And it was a little community about 2 miles south of the Arroyo Grande Creek. And in the dunes a bit, and the book goes into her childhood, and it really brings forth the rich history of Oceano, and it's really fascinating. The writers and poets and artists, photographers, philosophers, and musicians, mm-hmm. Really an incredible collection of talent, and being set in the Depression era, these folks lived off the land largely. They ate a lot of clams. Mm-hmm. And this book talks about her father, Dunham Thorpe, who helped put together the Dune Forum. It was a magazine that he helped publish that connected the world to this little group of artists and what have you. In reading the book, one instance, they were working on the production, and their usual photographer was not there. And so they were in a bind, and so they were walking over the dunes, and here comes a fellow, and he has a camera. Turns out this is Ansel Adams. And he shot a photograph of two anchors that became the cover of one of their issues. And John Steinbeck was known to visit the group as well. So, again, rich history. And I think this is a history that really needs to be carried forward into the future in many ways, and I'll expand on that later. But I just wanted to share that with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Next, we have Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening. I am Julie Tacker, and I wanted to bring attention to your board the vacancy that you have and some of the noticing that's gone on and some concerns I have about it. I understand that on June 15th, this coming Friday, you have a special board meeting scheduled. That agenda says 3 p.m. and the topic is that you would seat or perhaps call for an election. The confusion lies in the public notice that you have seeking candidates. And it says that the meeting is at 3:30. And it appears that if you're calling for candidates, you are indeed likely to seat someone. What also is of concern is that in the notice, it asks that candidates that are interested would present their qualifications and a resume. And you all know, as you are seated there, The only qualifications to be a director are that you reside in the district, that you are 18 years of age, and that you are a registered voter. So my hope and concern is that if someone thinks that you have to be of some other qualification, that they might be misled by this or intimidated by it. A couple other issues that I wanted to bring to your attention. I understand that the 08-09 audit has been received by the district, and I'm not quite clear where it is today. My experience is when an audit usually is finalized, it comes through your committee, it comes to the board for adoption, and then it goes to the county and through the process. I don't see that on your agenda tonight, and I think I heard that it had already been sent to the county. The other thing that I've noticed is that you do not have a budget hearing tonight. You'll notice that your neighboring communities and the county has gone through a series of budget hearings. These hearings are held over the course of usually several meetings. And I pulled up your budget packet for 2010. And this is the budget for 2012. This is a one-page, basically a balance sheet, sort of a revenue and expense sheet. A budget packet would include not just pages. It's not paper.
I was in attendance, and having looked at the minutes, I've got an issue with how it was characterized. But let me first say that having attended that meeting, there's still some question about when public comment is taken. As your board knows, at your board meetings, we've resolved the fact that you have a staff presentation, then you take public testimony, you bring it back to the board. Well, that procedure, which you now recognize as proper, is not being carried out at your committee level. And so what I was faced with at that meeting was having to make comment before staff made any remarks in connection with the Finance Committee agenda. So I think that needs to be consistent to be proper. Also, specifically with regard to the minutes, my public comment is characterized, and I'll quote, "Jeff Edwards commented and demanded we follow Los Osos methods." That's not at all what I said, or that's not all what I did. What I brought in to share with your general manager and the Finance Committee members was an agenda packet from a Finance Committee meeting in Los Osos. And it was to be used as an example to show you perhaps how others do it. And so it wasn't a demand. I thought it was really helpful. We emailed it over to Mr. Gieselin, and apparently he hasn't learned very much from it. The other thing that I mentioned at that meeting...
Mr. Edwards, could you not make personal comments?
Is the other thing I mentioned at the meeting, that what might be helpful is to have citizens serve on these subcommittees, which you currently don't have. So I think that would be helpful to bring more information to your board and basically help you do your job. So I'll just close by leaving you with those thoughts. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment?
Not at this time.
Okay. Is there any board comment on the minutes? I have two. Let me on the May 30th, which is the special meeting that we had, it says the following motion was adopted to advertise for 15 days for candidates. Candidates is misspelled. If we could just change that correct spelling. And as to the June 1st Finance Committee meeting, which I was at, I think Mr. Edwards is correct that he presented the budget that has been done by Los Osos as an example.
Yes.
Rather than a demand. So I would just move to change the comment that Jeff Edwards presented the Los Osos budget as an example.
Also, too, is can I add on page 2, on 9B, that Lori also attended the Zone 3?
9B, that would be the May 30th Personnel Committee meeting?
No, the May 23rd. Is it, are we doing the 23rd? You kind of jumped from one to the other.
I was on 6A through E. Oh, on May 23rd. Oh, those minutes. I apologize.
Sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
6A.
I was right.
You were right.
Oh, God. Document it.
Let the record reflect.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that Lori also attends the Zone 3 and RAC. And I was going to ask you, Director Angelo, would you mind giving the RAC report tonight?
Yeah, short and sweet.
Okay. Are there any other changes to items 6A through 6E?
I didn't have any.
Caroline, did you get, are we able to catch all of our changes?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve then items 6A through 6E as presented?
I'll make the motion to approve as submitted. Presented, I'm sorry.
Director Angelo has made a motion to approve. Is there a second?
I will second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Item number 7, cash disbursements. I do have those. Manager Gieslin, is there any public comment on these?
No, there's none.
Is there any board comment? I don't think I made any marks on these. All right. Hearing no board comment or public comment, is there a motion to approve the... And I think the item shows amended minutes, Carol Ann. Is that the correct? Carol Ann?
No, there's no amended one. It's just this one. Oh, that's not supposed to say amended.
Okay.
Until sometime late next week. So we're running extremely shorthanded. We brought in some additional help to carry things through, but if you find some things missing, it's because we're trying to handle all this stuff, and then we had our usual amount of public records requests that caused, you know, that we have to take time out to handle that. So it's been a pretty rough week. So if we seem a little out of sort, that's the reasons. And then also with the catering to the people for the revitalized in mm-hmm. Oceano, that's taken up a lot of additional time as well.
Yes.
So if there's any other mistakes, I apologize. It all falls on me, but that's the way the week has been going.
Okay. Looks like
we're sorry the office is having such a trying time.
Yes.
Looks like the total amount is $30,014.35. Are we all on the same page there?
I move that we accept the warrants.
I have a motion to approve and accept. Do I have a second?
A second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Board member comments. Are there any board member comments at this time?
Yes, I would like to make one regarding the Finance Committee.
Mm-hmm.
We do have members of the public that do attend our finance meetings. I think that it's a very good idea that they do attend, but they're not always available. And we can make a concerted effort to get them involved again. But we have had that. So.
Is there any, I have no board comment at this time. I may have some at the end of the meeting today. Director Angelo?
No, nothing.
Okay, why don't we move on to item number 9B, report of Five Cities Fire Authority, Chief Hernandez, or Chief Heath.
Good evening, honorable directors, President Guerrero. This month we ran a total of 81 calls out of the station, Station 61. Four of those were actual fires. We had one structure fire this last Sunday night, and we managed to keep the fire contained to the structure itself. It was a room in content. The guys did a really good job of making sure that, you know, we salvaged everything. It went really well. Nobody was hurt. We ran a total of 57 medical aid calls, 2 hazardous conditions, 1 public assist, and we had 13 cancellations. and a total of 4 false alarms. It was a fairly busy month, but everybody did really well. Thank you.
Where was the structure fire? Was that in Oceano?
Yes, it was at the corner of Ocean. Well, no, not the corner. It was in a back alleyway off of Ocean and 22nd.
Mm.
And it was a lady that lived in a kind of like a little apartment right there. Mm-hmm. And
she okay, I hope?
She was fine. We had Red Cross out there. They gave her 3 nights of stay at a hotel until the landlord was able to clean everything up for her. So okay. Went really well.
Any other questions?
Was it exceptionally busy out on the beach this weekend? Because it seemed like I heard the sirens, you know, repeatedly going out.
Yes, there was some kind of special event out there. I forget what it was called, something along the line of
Truck Regatta.
Yeah.
It was something.
Chuck your vehicle over the hill.
Yeah, something like that, something crazy. But they had several hundred cars out there, and they were racing them up out of the sand dunes and launching in the air.
And but did that affect your, you know, volume?
Yes, it did. There was nothing really major out there, but we did run a few medical calls out there.
All right. Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Chief Heath. Report of OCSD operations, Andrew Gieselin.
Ms. Tacker had requested to speak on Jim Taylor's report, but since he's not here, so do you want the opportunity to talk?
Okay.
All right, so I'm going to defer to my Friday report, but okay. There are some key things that everybody needs to be aware of. As of close of business today, we have four people that have sent in letters of interest to go to our meeting on the 15th, and I'll list them in no particular order, but 3 of them are here tonight. One is Jennifer Blackburn, one is Mr. Bill Senna, and one is Ms. Karen White. And then also Giselle Mailer also turned in a deal. So there's just letters of interest, and they will all be there on Friday. Now, Bill may have a problem because he's also involved with a funeral that day, but we'll notice this, and I don't have it in front of me.
Okay.
We can get that by the end.
Yeah, we can get it during the break.
Term break.
Okay.
Like I said, it's been rough.
yeah. Well, we have a lot of meetings, too, so, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right.
Oh,
yeah, we can also, when we cross check it, we have time to change it. So,
I'm with Karen. 3 o'clock sounds better.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, the other thing I wanted to point out was I got the release of the financial statements for 9/10. And we are scrubbing them now, and then Caliber Audit and Test is putting the final wraps on the 9/10 audit. They sent over some final testing that I got this afternoon, which had to do with some CDBG grants that we received. And if you remember, it was the old R. Baker retention thing. And so we have to send over the supporting documentation of that, which will not be a problem because we have it readily available since we had taken almost a year to dig it out. The other thing is we have Presley and Associates auditing our back office, and we took the time to do it, one, because Marie was going to go out on surgery. And it's part of making sure that we're taking care of business the right way. And one of the reasons why we picked Presley & Associates is because of their extensive municipality experience. And so they are going through, and they're giving me a report on findings. And then we will, when Marie comes back, we will sit back through and fine-tune all that. The other thing that we're doing in conjunction with the Wallace Group as our engineer is we're going through a lot of our sewer spill checklists and handling, and I spoke before about the different regulations that were coming down, and so we've been working pretty aggressively on that. We completed the what they call the SSMP audit, and Wallace Group is releasing their findings, and then we have to put the corrective action in, and we're like 99% through with that. And then the other big thing that we're doing is the water audit, where we've actually gone out and physically examined every pipe, every meter, going to every customer, matching names and databases. And the boys got through all the physical part, and now Celia's going through the book, and there's 128 pages of customers and cross-checking everything that the boys found so that we'll be accurate. We got through about 23 pages, and then all hell broke loose on Friday for that family. But we're still moving forward on that, and I still think with a little bit of luck we'll get that done probably by the middle of July. And then we'll go in and we'll update all the billing to make sure it properly reflects it. We are starting to get more will serve letters or requests for will serve letters, but as we've discussed before, the big hang-up now is if you build anything new, you have to have fire sprinklers, and so that causes all those will serve letters to be recalced, and there's a little bit of culture shock or sticker shock for the developers, and so we're getting a little bit of pushback on that, but we're trying to do the best we can. And again, I think for the next week and a half, it's going to be filling in and filling out with the staff, but we're functioning and we'll do fine. We're just not getting the extra stuff finished. So, and that's all I have. I have public comment if you want to after your questions.
Yeah, go ahead.
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker.
Good evening again. Just with regard to the notice and the meeting this Friday, I actually let your general manager and your attorney know on the 6th of June that I saw the conflict in these times, and I think this could have been resolved much sooner. What I would suggest is that the later time, in case somebody was planning on the 3:30, would be the most prudent to actually hold the meeting. I did have some questions because I didn't hear Mr. Gieslin speak to in his report the capital improvement projects that were for 2012 through 2013. There was a exterior maintenance on some tanks and at the well yard, some painting, etc., was to have begun on May 8th. Hydrant replacements on June 1st. And
it's indicated that the GM has worked with the NCMA TAC on the water management plan. And I'm just curious, what water management plan are we talking about? I am unaware of any policy determinations that have been made by this board regarding a water management plan. So the question becomes, what is your general manager telling these folks? I have to refer back to the presentation that you received from Water Systems Consulting, and their PowerPoint presentation involves a lot of activities that this district has no interest in. They want to evaluate alternative sources of new developed water, increased state water project imports, recycled water, stormwater retention, increased local surface water storage, raising the spillway at Lopez. These were all presented just at your last meeting to you. Is Mr. Gieslin pushing back on these items and letting the NCMA know that you're not interested in these items? Or perhaps let's refer to the conclusions in the report from last time. The 2011 NCMA groundwater conditions indicate recovery from record low 2008-2009 levels. Recovery? What recovery? Recovery from what? Additionally, no detections of seawater freshwater interface in NCMA Sentry wells since 2009. Does that mean in 2009 there was this seawater intrusion? We know that Mr. Gieslin was unwilling to write the letter that your president ultimately wrote regarding seawater intrusion. So heaven help us, but what is he telling these folks in private meetings? I think the public should be told. I think your board deserves to know what's going on. And I don't see any evidence of any activity that is discernible. Thank you.
Is there any other public comment, Mr. Gieselin?
No, but there's a few things I would like to address on these comments. Okay, number one, on the capital improvement projects, we presented that, and there's some things that are misinterpreted there. One, it's hydrant maintenance that we're performing, and they're mixing it up with the fact that we also had to do two hydrant repairs because people knocked them over. And one was what was called a wharf head, which is an older way of handling fire suppression, which we upgraded to a new one and a new fire hydrant out at Halcyon and at Coolidge. And those are two different things, apples and oranges. So the fire hydrant maintenance, we've got an inventory. We've already started working on it. It's a plan, and those capital improvement projects are supposed to go out throughout the year. So that's number one. Number two is that I may have been told about the posting date on that, but I look at it, and I make a decision whether I need to pay attention to that or something else. And at that present time, and some of the things that we're going to talk about in private session, those things were coming forward, and they were an ample distraction. If the time is wrong on it, I apologize. But like I said, we've had some rough times going. With respect to the NCMA, we signed what's called a gentleman's agreement, and we are in it together, not unlike the Sand District, with Oceano, Grover Beach, Arroyo Grande, and we have Pismo. And I have my counsel, and we have joint counsel with Grover Beach and AG for the Santa Maria Groundwater Basin deal, and Pismo has theirs. And I do take every issue that we have, and I bring it to the table, and my counsel can verify it to the max that we push back on a regular basis for the stuff that goes on there. With respect to the spillway, that is a Zone 3 budgeted item, and if you read the Zone 3 budget, and it doesn't take somebody with much more than a 8th grade education in regular math, it'll clearly say that we are not part of that. That is being funded by Grover Beach because they don't have supplemental water and they need to count on that. It's being funded by Arroyo Grande and it's being funded by Pismo Beach. But we don't participate and we are not getting billed for that. The other things that go on with the state water pipeline and everything else.
Let her give the report because it's always such a fun time there.
Okay, as usual, it's a chaotic meeting. There was a variety of topics that come up and expand out, but never any decision made or anything defined. So it's a continuous conversation type thing. And we were shown what we felt was an unreasonable vote for something. They redid the, which one was it, Mary, do you remember?
To put the subcommittee together? Is that the one you're talking
about?
Yeah,
that's what it was, subcommittee together, and it was not agendized and it was not properly done, and we both objected, and they rolled right over the top of us and said, oh, there's an attorney in here, we're okay. So, as usual, it's a frustrating event to go to. Hopefully we can get a better handle on it.
Well, it kind of appears that they are building in another integrated system, another level of organization within the Water Resource Advisory Committee, because they're, you know, I guess they're supposed to be the crown jewel that sits, you know, that the soups take their direction from. So from what I can gather, and Director Angelo and stuff, there's a super committee of super people, and they just kind of arbitrarily decide what they're going to do. But I don't know if Director Angelo, I haven't had a chance to talk to her about this, but I'm actually somewhat concerned on I don't want to use the word conflict because, one, it's a buzzword, two, it's doesn't apply in this county. But it appears that the chair of this body is involved in every branch and entity with a voting right, and I'm a little concerned about that organizational structure. I don't think that's really in the best interest of Oceano. But it's I think it's important that we're there. You know, I don't like that it goes on for a very long time, and the chair doesn't keep track of the agenda. And that was, I think, the main.
Yeah, it's
grueling.
You know, it could be better. It could be. It's basically the same group of people that are making the decisions, but we don't really get any input because they have their little subcommittee gatherings and stuff that we don't notice of. So we'll do what we can. Mm-hmm.
But water does take up a lot of our time with all the different committees and hearings, and we attended, you know, the potable water. I only stayed for a short period of time. I wasn't feeling well, but you know, the water for Oceano, you know, really is multifaceted, and it is taking two directors. I mean, we're really dancing as fast as we can to keep up, you know, and study the multiple systems that have been developed. Thank you very much for letting us give the report.
Do you have any other reports, President
Lisa? Did not work me enough?
No, not enough. Director Angelo, do you have any reports this evening?
No.
Director Hurdle.
Yes, I did attend a meeting last week with Supervisor Teixeira and County Planning and Building and the other consultants that are working on the Oceano Revitalization Plan. Mm-hmm. And that meeting was to discuss the $162,000 Caltrans grant that is being used for an additional study for the revitalization of Oceano downtown area. And what the crux of the meeting was finding out if we could actually use that $162,000 to pick a project from the previous study to actually get something done. And I was informed that because it is a grant, that it has a specific use, and that specific use is for the study. But out of that meeting did come some objectives that I have that I think would benefit the district as far as following through with this particular project. And I must say that we had a very successful, in my opinion, meeting yesterday. It was very exciting, the turnout that we had from the residents. A lot of good ideas. And my hope in this exercise is that once we do come up with a project, all those who did not attend to come out and those who were there last night to come out, because it's going to take continued work and participation from the residents to actually, we want to see something happen here. And the more people that come out and participate, I think the better opportunity we have to see this happen. So please come out. Had a lot of good ideas.
There was a lot of ideas last night. And for those who don't know, tomorrow night is the follow-up. That'll be Thursday night, the 14th, 6 o'clock here?
6 o'clock here.
6 o'clock here at the district. I attended the sanitation meeting last Wednesday. which was June 6th. Of interest were the major budget items, preliminary review, and these are projections and items that are going to need to be addressed in the next number of years. June 20th is our next date, the public hearing and adoption of the fiscal year 2012 through 2013 budget. So anybody that's interested in that particular budget should come to that particular meeting. Additionally, the FOG program, which is the fats, oil, and grease, was discussed again, and the sanitation district is going to work with each of the individual entities to try to get this formalized. There are 16 businesses in this community that are going to have to comply.
And that's fats, oils, and grease?
FOG, fats, oils, and grease.
Oh, I thought you said whale.
No.
Fats, whales, and grease.
Specifically very interesting also was on last Thursday night, the sanitation district hosted the recycled water symposium. That was well attended. It was put on by John Wallace and a number of guest speakers from around the state came and talked about their experiences with recycled water, the challenges with recycled water, which include largely the cost and where to use it, and some success stories of places that have used it. And I think specifically the highlight of those included the Salinas Valley, which would be totally out of farming but for recycled water at this time. And they're using it, I think, exclusively or almost exclusively, John, for their farming?
Almost
exclusively for their farming. That's right, because they do use some river water and stuff. So that was an excellent meeting. I think we're all looking forward to the next step. I'll keep you updated on what's going to happen next. And we do have a recycling water study that's been funded. I think there's about $40,000 that's been funded for that particular study. And that will summarize my reports.
We have a public comment.
Yes.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, President Guerrero. Jeff Edwards, board members, good evening. I wanted to speak to the SAN District meeting of June 6th and specifically the closed session regarding possible litigation. And I think it's become pretty clear now, and certainly, Mr. Guerrero, you're aware of this, that the state of California is preparing a complaint to be filed by the end of the month against the Sanitation District. I spoke to the lead attorney in Sacramento on the matter, and apparently what's happened is the settlement negotiations between the SAN District and the state have broken down. That is the negotiations regarding fines associated with a spill of December 2010. In speaking to the lead attorney, she indicated that the complaint will be filed, and the amount that they're talking about is, it hasn't been made public, but we're talking tens of millions of dollars. As you know, I predicted that a settlement might be reached around $4.5 million, this matter is going to the equivalent of a trial. It's going to be heard by the Regional Water Quality Control Board probably in December in San Luis Obispo, and I'd like to know what your board is doing as a preventative measure or measures to insulate you, this body, and your citizens, your ratepayers, from the fines that are likely to come down from this incident. As your board knows, at your meeting of May 9th, you were to receive a report from Mr. Wallace, not only regarding the formation of the sanitation district, but also the results of that 2010 spill. To date, we have not heard about that. Perhaps tonight we can hear a little bit, though it's not agendized. What happened to those two presentations? We might have learned a little more, but apparently they haven't occurred. And lastly, I'll just ask, what's the result of
15th and 24th to abate the hazard? And those property owners will then be given a bill for the completed work, and it will contain an administrative fee attached to that. We will hold another protest hearing on July 11th, giving them a chance to protest the charges, and then beyond that, we'll move those charges onto their property taxes for the next fiscal year. So with that, we would ask you that you hold the public hearing and either order the abatement on the lots or provide other alternatives to the authority.
I don't have any questions for the chief. Does anybody else have any?
No.
Lori?
No.
All right.
Do you have to ask if there's any protests?
I was about to get there. I was just. Thank you, Chief Aranez.
Thank you.
Is there any protest this evening, Chief Tom?
None has been registered at this time.
Okay. Is there any public comment on this item?
None at this time.
Is there any board comment? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
I move that we accept the list of abatements that's been submitted by the JPA Five Cities Authority.
Listed as attachment one.
As attachment one.
I'll second.
All right. We need a roll call.
Oh, sorry.
I'm sorry.
Read abatement.
What did I say?
And order the abatement.
Oh.
let's reword it. Why don't we?
Abate it all.
No. Let me try that again.
I move that we accept the list of public protest from the fire department for the weed abatement hearings for 2012.
I'll second.
What's wrong? Restate it then, Molly. You do it.
I would use the language on the resolution.
Where's the language?
On the agenda. Make a finding that there are no defensible protests and order the abatement.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Sorry about that. I apologize. No, I don't have that
right
language.
Here.
I'll use your language.
There you go. Right on the 9A.
Oh, it's right on the agenda. Okay. I move that we accept administrative item 10A, public hearing for weed abatement for 2012 in the Oceano area. The recommendation is that the Board of Directors conduct the required protest hearing, make a finding that there are no defensible protests, and three, order the abatement of the properties on the list that were attached with attachment 1A.
One.
Did I blow it?
You did conduct the hearing. Now you just have to make a finding that there
Somebody else do this.
Are no defensible protests in order to the abatement.
Let's try this again.
Somebody else try it.
It's been that kind of
I week. Can do simple stuff.
I don't know. Okay, make a motion that we make a finding that there are no defensible protests for the 2012 weed abatement. Properties listed as noted in violation.
Okay, I'm competent enough to second that.
Okay.
Is that okay? And order the abatement.
Okay.
Okay. And do you second that?
I second it.
Okay. Roll call vote.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Yes.
President Guerrero?
Yes.
I'm sorry about that.
It's okay. Moving on to item number 10B, resolution 2012-4, a resolution of the Board of Directors of the Oceano Community Services District rescinding resolution number 2007-18. And, I guess we are ready.
This is personnel.
Yeah, 2000-18 and reinstating its at-will policies and procedure. Can I get a staff report, Mr. Giesel?
Well, we had the couple personnel meetings and we created the new policies and procedures manual, which we just got the final version this afternoon. So it was put on the web as soon as we got it, and then I will give you copies today. But one of the things that we noticed with comparing with the other municipalities, this district has gone at-will, 10-year, at-will, and it was currently 10-year, and we wanted to bring it back to being at-will. And so we've got the resolution before you today to return it to being at-will employees. And if you have any additional questions on that, and there is some public comment, but if you have any additional questions, I'll refer it to council.
And actually, I'd ask council to explain the difference between at-will and tenured employees. For
the general law is that all employees serve at-will if they can be fired, terminated for any reason or no reason at all. That's the basic law. tenured employees have agencies. Tenured employees come about through very strong collective bargaining agreements and really nothing else. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of forced on employers, and it really does just cost time and money. That's mm-hmm. really the downside of it.
Right. So. And I, Thelma and I actually, that's one of our committees that we oversee. So first of all, I want to thank you for bringing forth that comprehensive personnel manual that we were able to fine-tune for the Oceano area. Usually, I will speak on behalf of tenure, you know, as an employee's rights advocate. But in the case of Oceano is that we offer such a good benefits packet, and the work environment is equal, if not better, than any, you know, union shop or tenured facility. So in other cases, I might not have gone that direction, but I don't think Oceano has to be browbeat into treating people, our employees, good and with respect. And I think through our benefits packets and stuff, we have shown that. So I was in favor of the at-will, just because I just didn't think it applied under Oceano. Big monster corporations that traditionally abuse their employees, that's another story, but that's not the case here. So.
Is there public comment?
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Good evening again, Julie Tacker. I would ask that you do not adopt this tonight. First of all, your staff packet only has the resolution to rescind tonight, but doesn't give you reference of what you are rescinding. I actually went back and looked up Resolution 2007-18, and it refers to the district's tenured employment policy. You don't have that to look at either. And you don't have the at-will policy to look at either. So you don't have all the information in front of you. Maybe two of you in your committee had that luxury, but I believe as a board, you absolutely need to read all the information. What I'd like to know, is this intended for the current staff? You're going to change horses in the middle of the stream, jeopardizing what they might have felt as security. Did you take a poll? Do you know if this is what your staff wants? And Ms. Lucy, in all due respect, if you don't sit behind that desk and answer that phone, you don't know what the environment is in the office or out in the field. These employees are overseen. They work together or they don't work well together. We don't know unless you walk in their shoes. What I see is that you simply, as the board, do not have access to the full picture. You do not have access to the full picture. You do not have the documentation. And I, as a member of the public, have none of this documentation but for the old resolution that I took the time to look up. You don't see those policies in front of you, and I'm very concerned for your staff. Like I said, switching horses in the middle of the stream. I see you have personnel litigation on your closed session agenda tonight to shift to this other policy in the middle of someone's tenure on your staff may be inviting litigation. So I caution you, and I would suggest that you continue the item, get more information, and come back in 2 weeks. And then if it's thoroughly vetted, then adopt something, one or the other. But I think to proceed tonight is very irresponsible.
Is there any other public comment?
Okay, I just want to end a comment on a couple things. The at-will policy is the at-will policy, and it's very simple. It can be terminated for any reason or no reason at all. Mm-hmm. The tenure policy is set forth in the mishmash of policies and procedures from 1982, changed sporadically, arbitrarily, kind of on an ad hoc basis over the years. and we're trying to make a comprehensive policy that's consistently applied, put in place, and it makes sense rather than what's out there. But if anyone wants to look at the 10-year policy, it is the policies and procedures, whatever you can make of them.
Yeah. The paragraph on whereas on October 10th, 2007. Well, this is comprehensive.
My recommendation is to return to the at-will, which is the basic law of employment, and the policies and procedures that we've drafted are consistent with that.
Great.
And by saying at-will, then that indicates that it's just pursuant to the laws of the state of California.
And driven by our policies and procedures manual.
Yes, and the federal government, you know,
right.
Yes.
Yeah.
Can't go around kicking people.
You can't?
No, not right now.
That was sarcasm, yeah.
Anybody?
Is there any other public comment, Tom?
Not at this time.
Okay, I'd like to make a motion that we approve the resolution 2007-18 reinstating its at-will policies and procedures as presented.
The resolution is 2012.
Oh, I'm sorry, I'm looking at the wrong line. You're right, I'm sorry.
Over.
Resolution 2012-04. I thought that looked weird. I was wondering how the hell you come up with that one.
I'll second that.
I have a motion and a second. Carol Ann, can I have a roll call vote?
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Vice President Lucy?
Yes.
Director Hurdle?
Abstain.
Director and President Guerrero?
Yes. Motion carries 3-0 with one abstention. What does the board think? We've been going about an hour and 5 minutes. Should we break now, or do you want to continue for a little while longer?
I'd like to break.
Whatever you want to do.
Okay, I have a motion for a break then. Why don't we come back at 6:45? It is 7:37 right now, so we'll take about an 8-minute break. Thanks.
Who was the Director Hurdle? Was it Director Hurdle who made the motion?
Yes. Yes.
And who was the second?
Me.
Bellman, did I show you my cat guy?
Call this meeting back to order. The Oceana Community Service District. It is 7:47 p.m. Everybody is present except for Director Lucy, who I'm sure will be here in a moment. Moving on to item number 10C, a policy and procedures manual. Mr. Gieslin.
What we've been working on for the last 2 months is this final version of the policy that I put before you. Yeah. Policy procedures manual that we've been working on for the last 2 months I put before you. It's been through personnel committee twice, I believe, and countless hours by staff and council to get it put together. I'm extremely proud of this work, and it finally defines what everything needs to be done. There were several attempts made at this in the past, and when we looked at all those attempts, we just thought they were futile, just like the other things, but we're comfortable with this, and we're willing to go forward, and I'd like you guys to accept it.
I'll represent. I just received it just now.
Well, the other version was up on the website for almost a month.
Can we not have disruptions from the audience, please?
The changes here from what were put forth in the two personnel committee meetings are simply formatting page numbers, which were requested by everybody, and formatting the there's nothing substantive changed.
If you like more time, we can bring it back.
I didn't look at the other ones.
All right.
Why don't we table this
and we'll bring it back.
Put it on for June 27th?
Why don't we put it on for Friday?
Oh, we could put it on for Friday.
Can we put it on for Friday?
No, I want the...
No.
No. Well, we could notice it.
It's one more business, piece of business that gets done while we're meeting.
It's fine. Whatever you guys, excuse me, whatever the board wishes to have take place.
I think we should table it till the 27th for the next meeting and keep the Friday meeting.
It's not time sensitive, the 27th.
Yeah, I don't think it's time sensitive. Why don't we table it till the 27th? We'll put it on at that time. I don't think there's anything that's lightning rod in here. I just wanted to make sure. Moving on to item number... Okay. Moving on to item number...
It's on the agenda, Molly. But you don't need public comment because it was at committee meeting.
Moving on to item 10D. Zone 3 bylaws adoption...
Anybody, I can do it if you want. I don't.
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
I was the... there was two of us. It's kind of a little redundant. Last meeting, I gave a report. I was a little bit of a mush mouth, but I'll try to be clearer this time. On Zone 3, we needed to make a couple changes because the bylaws hadn't been changed in a very long time, and so a couple of us got together with staff from the county. There's one thing that I try to explain to people is that there is... I don't like to use the term us and them, but there is an us and them when one entity oversees another entity. So tried to get a little separation between the county and the advisory role of this body. So there were some changes that came out that the body be changed from an advisory committee to a commission. In North County, Nacimiento Water Project is a commission. Commission holds a little bit more authority than an advisory body, you know. So that was one change. They have in here that it requires a contract amendment. A voice of, I don't want to call it, you know, unnecessary fear, but... people were concerned that if they took this back, these minor changes back to their body, that it would open up their contracts and that they could go through all kinds of changes. And that simply wasn't the case. It's to go back to the contract and draw a line through advisory committee and PRC commission and sign it and inform your vote, your body on it. And that's the extent of changing the contracts. But, of course, you're going to have that one lone voice out there. So then also, too, is just the only authority we had was the authority of persuasion, begging, kind of. And so we changed that to be more of a leadership, advocacy, and guidance body. And then I think one of the more important things was that if the Board of Supervisors was to ignore Zone 3's recommendations, that they would have to hold a public meeting as to why they did not accept the advisory commission's advisory body's recommendations, Zone 3's recommendations. They'd have to hold public hearings on that. And I think that's good because then the Board of Supervisors has to explain why they did not accept the public's recommendations. And then there are two seats that are at-large seats on this body. And they're predominantly for agricultural participation, since we do have a relatively large farmland in the area. So those seats didn't have a term limit on them. So as elected people, we have a four-year term. So no matter what, you have a term on that Zone 3. The two at-large seats are not necessarily held by elected people, so they never had a term limit. And so now there is a four-year term. And that those two seats are staggered. Every 2 years, one of those seats will come up for re-election, and that gives the an opportunity to accept resumes and stuff from others that would like to sit. And the representative, Mr. Telly, did say that he thought that that some of the farmers might step forward, knowing that there was an end date out there somewhere. And then also, too, is that Oceano has never had the opportunity to chair this meeting.
It usually is decided before the meeting, and they just pass the gavel on to each other. And now it's on a rotation basis of yearly, so Oceana will have the opportunity to take a leadership role in this body. So with those five changes, that is the meat and the potatoes of the recommendations. Some other people had other recommendations, you know, which I think are really good recommendations, and as they're fleshed out further, then I'll bring them back to the body and discuss them. So the Zone 3 bylaws have been updated. The minute we pass this, then we can report back to Zone 3. Lori is the alternate on Zone 3, and it really does take both of us to oversee that. Them some wild men there.
No comment.
So,
is there any other comment, Mary?
No.
Tom, do you have anything to add, or Mary, or Director Angela?
No, I think this is good. It's a good start.
Is there any public comment, Tom?
It looks like there's not.
All right. So if I understand, if we approve it, I'd make a motion to continue this until June 27th.
And that's the committee?
Yeah, that's the committee assignments.
I just have one question on this, and it's not agendized or anything. Is that the letters for the sitting committees, have they gone to the county and such, the letter requesting that Lori be voted in, say, from the Board of SIPs? For Zone 3.
The letters for the committee assignments have all been out, yes.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. And then also, too, is that I had forgotten to sign my 700 form. Thank you very much for having me come in and sign it. I did get a letter from county clerk saying that it's done, lady.
And they waived your penalty.
They waived my penalty.
Moving on to item number 10F, Oceana groundwater uses. Excuse me. Manager Gieslin.
What this basically is it's going to be a regular agendized item, and unfortunately I won't have any data to present tonight, but because of the thing with the NCMA and the thing with the Santa Maria groundwater litigation, and one lawyer saying if you don't use it you lose it, and another lawyer saying, well, maybe that's not the case, and then another lawyer saying, well, you should use some of it or whatever, I felt a need that we needed to start letting everybody know what our status of the water is, at least on a monthly basis. So I'll be able to report to you what we're taking in Lopez water, what we're taking in state water, and what we're pumping from the ground. And as you know, we hardly pump anything at all from the ground, and depending on what side of the bench you sit on, that's a good thing or it's a bad thing. And so I will be working with our engineering, I'll be working with our staff, and we will be going forward so that the whole community knows the status and what the cost of each water pumping exercise is, whether we take it from Lopez or we take it from the state. They have individual costs, and obviously if we take it from the ground, we have our internal costs, but there's no actual fiscal cost to it when we take it from the ground other than our operation costs. So that's a position of total sunshine, and it'll help clear up some of these doubts that people have, because we have a safe yield that's already been established by the Santa Maria groundwater basin, which I don't think we've ever come close to using. And we have our state and water allocation, and there's always a big discussion because people don't get the facts right on whether the state cut it down to 5%, or they cut your allocation down to 40%, or they cut it down to 55%. And then there are times when Lopez goes down for regular scheduled maintenance, which we don't have access to that. And so it's good that we keep our we run our well checks anyways, but now we're actually starting to pump from our ground wells just a little bit to ensure the integrity of supply and ensure the integrity of the operation. So that's what this is going to be, and it's a, in my mind, it's a step in the right direction so that there are no big surprises, there are no there's no misinformation coming out, that it'll be just based on the cold facts that we, what we've used and how we've used it and what it's costing us. And that's, so tonight was going to be the first one. Unfortunately, with some of the things that we had to do, I didn't have enough time to pull those reports together.
Is there, go ahead, is there any board comment or questions?
No, sometimes people ask me if, you know, they go, well, O'Shaughnessy has extra water, you know, why don't you, can you do this project, can you do that project? So let me give you an example, is that the county has taken upon themselves to come by and sweep our dirt now. You know, they do street sweeping, gutters, but we don't have gutters, so it's dirt sweeping. And they go, well, why isn't there a water truck that follows that to kind of keep that dust down? You know, and I go, well, that's a really good point. You know, write it down and send it to me. No, you know, I engage, and actually some people have some really good ideas on how to use some of this mm-hmm. water that we have. You know, some people have said, why don't you just hose the whole town down, get the grunge gone, right? And then you know, and the grass will start to grow to the street, and then, you know, we have a green belt. You know, so some of this stuff is actually really good ideas, you know, but is there room to kind of...
cleaned up. So, yeah, these are great ideas, and we'll just have to find a way to do it. But the first step is letting everybody know where their water is coming from, where it's going, and letting that all play into the mix.
I think that's an excellent idea. Great tracking mechanism for it.
Thank you, Tom.
Thank
Is there
you.
Any public comment?
We have public comment on this.
And
what?
I was waiting for you to say.
Oh, we have public comment.
Yes.
Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker.
I was hoping to see the supporting documents, and I'll look forward to those when Mr. Giesen can find the time to put those together. What the comments that Ms. Lucy made about, you know, some of the ideas, those come at a cost. Number one, I don't ever like to see water wasted. But number two, it costs money to pump water, store water, administer water. So even if you had a free park space that you wanted to irrigate, that comes at a cost. And you have to find the compensation or reimbursement for that. Briefly speaking about compensation, you've heard my concerns before with the NCMA group, and then you have reduced your pumping of the groundwater, and I think it's very important that you do find some compensation for being paid not to pump. There's that comes at a cost too. You're not having access to your resource. I think that's all I'll say tonight. I am, again, looking forward to a more thorough report in the future.
Jeff Edwards.
Mr. Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. My name is Jeff Edwards. I believe I've suggested to your board in the past your groundwater, that is the 900 acre foot per year entitlement, is your single largest asset. And I believe it is the district's single largest asset. I value it at in excess of $20 million. And I'm not sure who the lawyer was that told you if you don't use it, you will lose it. That's the lawyer I think you want to keep on board. And I'll have to take back all the things I've said about Molly if she provided that advice. That is the case. And I'd like to give you just an example of an instance where there's kind of a difficult decision to make. Your board provides 100 acre feet of water to Rio Grande on an annual basis under a temporary agreement. And while the excess Lopez water, which is one of your five sources, may be cheaper to furnish Rio Grande as compared to pumping groundwater, there's probably some difference. It may be advantageous to go ahead and pump the groundwater, even if it's at a little bit greater cost, and deliver that to Arroyo Grande. Because to the extent that you can continue to pump your groundwater, whether it's 100 acre feet or 500 acre feet or more, is going to behoove this district in the long run. We can look to one very recent example in Pismo Beach in the context of the Los Robles Del Mar project, where LAFCO virtually at a single hearing determined that Pismo Beach's entitlement of 900 acre feet of groundwater supplies was all of a sudden only 200 acre feet because that's all they were using. That is a significant possibility in your instance. And given that it's your largest asset, I don't think that's something you want to deal with. The backdrop on this whole groundwater thing, and I'll tie it back to the presentation you got from Water Systems Consulting, the backdrop is seawater intrusion. Groundwater supplies, they're only threatened by seawater intrusion. And that genie appears to still be out of the bottle. The fiction lives on. And I have to say that, and I'm quoting from the conclusions of the NCMA presentation, they say, ongoing management objectives and initiatives help the NCMA agencies maintain a safe, sustainable groundwater supply and a diverse water supply portfolio. Well, again, the seawater intrusion is the threat. And so I think that's still something that you need to be diligent about. In closing, I'd like to recommend that your board receive a closed session item virtually every meeting on this topic, and perhaps a quarterly presentation for the public, and written reports would be helpful. Thank you very much.
Is there any other public comment?
None at this time.
All right. There's no action to be taken then. This was just to receive the report. Item 10G, discuss need for changes to district bylaws. I think District Legal Counsel Molly Thurman was going to present on this. Or
well, we've got two points on this. One, if you remember when we first came in, we put the plan together on how we were going to bring this up to being a model utility. And this was a whiteboard item that's finally got things.
So are there any other board questions? That was my
answer. I was just going to say, I didn't realize you spoke jive.
Sometimes. Depends on which radio station I listen to.
There you go.
Are there any other questions for Molly? Because I think what we should do is direct Molly, and we'll take public comment, but I think we should direct Molly to review the bylaws and to come back with any recommendations. There's things that are out of sync with the government code.
Is that a motion?
That's actually a discussion, so I think we should do. I haven't didn't make a motion yet because we haven't taken public comment.
I agree with you.
Okay. Just make sure we're 2012 ready.
Yeah. Yeah, after working on the personnel stuff. No. I think it's great.
Do we need to itemize or approve any particular budget for this?
I don't believe so. It was already tabulated for legal.
For legal?
To be involved with it.
Okay.
But we do have public comment.
Okay. If there's no more board comment, I'll take public comment then.
Julie Tacker, please.
She passes. Okay. Is there any other public comment, Tom?
None at this time.
All right. So I think we just give direction to staff and district legal counsel to review this and come back in, what, a month? Is that 2 months? What do you, how much time? I have a feeling this.
July, for most of July, I won't be here. So, end of July, I'll be here.
Why don't we plan this for July 25th to come back with recommendations and changes? It's something that it's only a 9-page document, but I can imagine it taking longer than
it would seem.
July 25th to return. Okay.
Okay.
Utility items. Item number 8 looks like it was. Actually, this should be item number 11. That's misidentified. Utility items will serve letter APN 062-096-032. OCSD project number 6258. Owner project Christie, single family residence with a board recommendation of, or excuse me, a staff recommendation of board approval.
It is just a renewal of an existing will serve letter, and they've met all the requirements.
No changes or anything, it's just an extension, right? Sorry. It's just an extension?
Yeah.
Okay.
Looking for what I did with it.
My notes are gone.
There you go.
Okay.
All right, is there any board comment on this?
Mm-mm.
Is there any public comment, Manager Gieselin?
There's none.
Is there a motion?
Okay, I move that we accept and approve the APN 062-096-034 OCSD project 6259 owner project roll call letter for single family residence. Christy.
I'll second.
All right. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 4-0. Moving on to item number 12, we have three closed session items. The first is public employee performance evaluation, closed session, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 and 4, to review and evaluate the performance of a contract public employee, the district engineer. Item 12B, closed session, public employee performance evaluation, closed session, pursuant to Government Code Section 54957B1 and 4, to review and evaluate the performance of district legal counsel. Closed item 12C, item 12C, closed session, conference with legal counsel, anticipated litigation, closed session, pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9B3C, claim, pursuant to the Torts Claims Act from Steve Langstaff, re wrongful termination. Is there any public comment on these items?
Yes, there is. 12A is Jeff Edwards, and 12B is Jeff Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. President, board members. I will speak both to 12A and 12B in my 3 minutes. I would urge your board to go out for RFQs and RFPs for both of these positions. I believe it's timely, and I believe it's timely for the following reasons. First of all, with regard to your district engineer, it's pretty well known that Mr. Wallace's firm is ubiquitous in this county. He represents many, many agencies and different entities, and I think he simply represents too many folks to adequately represent you. And I think that's been evidenced by the record. I'll suggest the whole seawater intrusion debacle. As you know, Mr. Wallace implored this board that she's ill-equipped to serve this district as you should be served. And then lastly, Ms. Thurman is really a holdout from the bookout drainage flood and litigation down here. She represented the county of San Luis Obispo at this time and then ended up here at the board. So I'd encourage you to go out for some other competition. Thank you.
Is there any other comment, Manager?
12C, Julie Tacker.
Ms. Tacker?
Thank you. I am Julie Tacker, and only with this one, I just don't see a case number referenced, and I think that the agenda should reflect the case number if indeed a case has been filed. And from the wording here, it says a claim pursuant to the Tort Claims Act from Mr. Langstaff, and again, I seek that case number. I think the public has the right to look up the case, and I requested it from your staff yesterday and was unable to get it, along with many other items that I actually came to the district office to seek. I was unable to get public documents that I have emails from both. Well, I have an email from Ms. Thurman, and I have a typewritten mail to me through a U.S. Post letter from Mr. Gieselin saying that the policies and procedures would be available in the district office, and yesterday they were not the old ones or the new ones. So, but just back to this case, I'd like the case number.
You know, I just have a quick question. Can I ask it?
Sure.
How many calls a day or emails a day do you get from, just say, one or two people who want the public documents chronically? Are you getting, you know, 5 calls a day from the same individuals, 10 calls a day, emails. I don't have any concept of how much time. I know that we're short-staffed in the front, so I know that that's happening, you know. And we have multiple lines and multiple customers and all that stuff. So on the average, you know, how many times?
Well, we don't take them public requests over the phone. We do take them when they come into the office and they fill out a public request form.
So on a guesstimate, how many requests in a week?
In a week?
Just a guesstimate. Mm-hmm. I don't expect you to pin it down.
We may get one a week, but it'll contain several items.
Okay.
Like yesterday, Ms. Tacker did come into the office. I was at a meeting, and we were short-staffed because of the stuff we had going on with Celia and Dan, and Marie being gone, and she listed a whole bunch of stuff that she wanted for the agenda, and then she issued follow-up stuff, which I responded to in writing today, and the manual is available to be reviewed. I just wasn't here.
So sometimes the requests that come in will be 5 to 10 tiered. 5, 6.
I say it averages about 5 items per.
Per week.
Per request, and then I will get a follow up, and then I have the 10 days, and I, in order to get it right and accurate without throwing something out there, and I usually have to run it by counsel, so I use the full 10 days.
Right.
All right. With that, why don't we proceed into closed session? I guess we can go into the back.
Thanks.
Yeah, that's fine.
All right, thanks. Thank you. We'll call this meeting back to order. It is 9:36 p.m., and we've just taken item number 12A, which was review of the contract of the district engineer, and there is no reportable action at this time. So I think we're going to go back into closed session for item 12B. It is 9:37 p.m. now. Thank you very much.
What is the next thing?
Call this meeting back to order. It is 10:07 p.m. We've just returned from closed session. As to item 12B, there is no reportable action. As to item 12C, there is also no reportable action. Moving on to public comment. I see there's nobody from the comment here. Is there any board member discussion at this time?
None for me.
No?
I
have
none.
No, thank you.
Board member items for the next board meeting.
I was wondering if we could get a report. Yes.
Go ahead.
I would ask that that we put a calendar in if we're going to be gone for, you know, from, I guess, June to September. If anybody's got any, you know, events planned or anything like that. Because I know I do, and so I'm going to put a calendar.
Also, let's not lose track of the fireworks.
How's that?
That's coming up real quick now.
Yeah. Yes, the neighbors, the neighborhood must get ready.
No, we're all covered on that.
Yeah, we have our vendors.
We have our vendors selected. They've all been approved by the fire department. The permits have been issued. We took care of that early.
That was on about 6 weeks ago.
Yeah.
On the agenda? Oh, was I out?
Obviously.
Or was I gone?
Yes.
There is one thing that we are going to do at the next meeting. The Boy Scout that did the redid the garden and the flag and the plaques, he became an Eagle Scout this past Saturday.
Awesome.
And we're going to present him with a commemorative plaque, which I would like the board to do.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And then Supervisor Teixeira is also going to present him at that meeting as well.
Great.
So.
Excellent. Maybe a Supervisor Teixeira can present from the podium and do it on behalf of us.
That's the plan, is to do it
that'd
at
be great.
That point in time.
Written communications? Is there anything to report?
Any hate mail?
No, because they didn't sign it.
Oh. I hate it when they don't sign it. I keep it anyway.
Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I move that we adjourn.
All right. I'll second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
10-10. Have a good night.